Thanks for joining us for another God-inspired message from C3 Church Monash. Connect with us online at c3monash.org.au and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're going to continue to be encouraged right now as Matt comes up and shares a word. So why don't you put your hands together?
Thanks, Ben.
Show him how much you love him. Thank you, Matt.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks, Ben. You guys can have a seat. You did awesome. Am I way too loud? No, I'm perfect. Thanks, Steve. Only my wife and my mum told me that. Ben, what a fantastic communion message. Fantastic imagery. And if you're here today, I just want to reiterate what Ben said, is that through sin, and we all know that we've all fallen short of God's standards of holiness, but he did send Jesus on the cross so he could pay that fine of your sin for you and so you can be reconnected with the Father. So if that's you here this morning and you were like, I didn't know that's how it worked. Or is that what Jesus came for? Is that what it's all about? Then after the service, I'd love to have a chat with you, or Ben can have a chat with you about what that all means for you moving forward in your life, which is actually really, really exciting. And essentially, we serve God out of his goodness. And, you know, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father except through Jesus. And so it's a really, really core part of everything Jesus came for. So I really encourage you to always remember that. Well, I'm continuing our series here on Resurrection Hope, living in the anticipation of Jesus. And we're all doing Lent together. Who's been doing the Lent for Everyone app, Bible app? Yeah, which has been really cool. We've been following N.T. Wright, which is Pastor James's favourite theologian. He was a kind of not ancient Near Eastern, he was a Greek historian in kind of the first century, and then he switched to becoming a theologian. So he has some really, really good insights into Jesus lived in the Second Temple Judaism. So if you want to read a really good book that N.T. Wright wrote, it's called Simply Jesus. And it kind of starts from 200 BC, talks about what's going on in Jerusalem at the time with the Romans and the Jews and the Maccabean revolt, and then it will move through to Jesus, and then it moves through until the last revolt where Rome came in and destroyed the temple in about 70 AD. So it's a really, really good, long, it says a lot of words, but it's a really good insight into, and it'll help you understand the Bible so much more when you're reading it. You'll understand what the Romans thought at the time and what the Jews were thinking about at the time, what the disciples were thinking at the time. It'll really help unpack the Bible so much. That's called Simply Jesus by N.T. Wright. I really encourage you to read that. Well, today we're going to be digging into Psalm 130, which is a penitent prayer, a psalm, which is like it's a prayer for repentance, either corporate prayer or personal prayer. So corporate repentance or personal repentance, that's been used for centuries. There's actually seven of them in the Psalms, and this is one of them, Psalm 130. It was written by David, King David. Theologians don't know when he wrote this psalm. He either wrote it when Saul was persecuting him, so before he was king, and so he was in a lot of distress, or maybe it could have been written after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then was found out by the prophet. It could have been written then, and he was obviously in a very state of repentance. So we'll dig into that. Christy last week shared, or it was actually 2 weeks ago, shared that when you read the Psalms, there's like the author takes you on a journey of repeating themes, of repeating words to help highlight things that the author wants you to pick up when you're reading the Bible. So if you're ever reading a book of the Bible, you can watch the Bible Project videos, or you can go to trashyourbible.com, and they'll help unpack key themes, key repeating verses, and help you read and study the word so much more, which is really, really cool. There's also a really good book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, and I encourage you, everyone here, to read it because it will help you study and read the word so much better. So for me, this was tough to put together. You know, I think the Psalms, Christy and Pastor James and Pastor Tam, they're really like poetic and creative, and like I'm just like me. So this has been it was a really struggle to put this message together. But I think when we struggle, who struggled with the word before? You know, everyone read Romans? It can be some hard work. You read some of the Old Testament, it's hard work, but when we struggle with the text, we're struggling with the Word of God. What better way to wrestle with something than the Word of God? And so I kind of embraced this, the toughness of prepping this, and I've left my Bible. Let's read Psalm 130, hey? And we'll get started. So, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. You know, verse 1, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. So at the very start here, we have the out of the depths. And if you read a lot of the Bible, Jonah was in the depths. There's all these people in the depths, which means I'm in a bad place. Who's been in a bad place before? Yeah, I'm in a bad place. When you read the depths in the Psalms, you're reading they're in a bad place. They're nearly dying. It's an emergency. Something's happening. And that is what the psalmist is saying. I'm in a bad, bad place. Can you see yourself in this passage? Have you ever been in a bad place? Maybe you're in one now. Maybe you've been in one in the past and you can relate to exactly what the psalmist is talking about. You know, either David put himself there or Saul was persecuting him. Either way, he's in a bad place. Who cried out to the Lord in their bad place? Yeah. Who cried out unto the Lord in their bad place straight away? Who took a few weeks? Yeah. Because we don't really know. This is a psalm. But, how long did it take? See, we're all different. I know when I was going through a rough time with God, I read a book about a lady that her child passed away. And she said, he passed away on a Monday. So Monday, she said, I opened up Job and I started reading what God had to tell me. I'm like, wow, that fast. That's amazing. For me, I was like 3 weeks. I'm not talking to God. Someone's like, how are you going with God? I go, we're not on speaking terms at the moment. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to hear it. I don't want anything to do with it. But over time, you can come to the Lord and he will hear your voice. He will hear your voice. He will hear your voice. Timothy Keller says, the fact that we can pray to God, this is not a direct quote. I can't find it anywhere, but I remember listening to some Timothy Keller, and he said, the gift of prayer is not in the answering of prayer, but the fact that we can pray to a God who hears. That is the greatest gift of prayer, is that when we pray, he hears. He hears us. Now, he might not say with a yes, but he hears us, and that is the relationship we have. The real gift is that we have a father who hears, a father who cares and sees what's going on. In the Matthew Henry commentary on this psalm, he says this, whatever condition we are in, though ever so deplorable, to continue calling upon the God. The best men may sometimes be in the depths, in great trouble and affliction, and utterly at loss what to do. In the depths of distress and almost in the depths of despair, the spirit low and dark, sinking and drooping, cast down and disquieted. But in the greatest depths, it's our privilege that we may cry out unto God and be heard. I pray may reach the heights of heaven, though not out of the depths of hell. Yet out of the depths of the greatest trouble we can be in this world. Jeremiah's out of the dungeon, Daniel's out of the den, and Jonah's out of the fish's belly. It is our duty and interest to cry unto God, for that is the likeliest way to both prevent our sinking lower and to recover us out of the horrible pit and miry clay. It's a gift and a privilege to be able to pray to a God who hears. Even the Apostle Paul says in Thessalonians to pray and pray without ceasing. Sometimes just pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father art in heaven. Sometimes I pray the Eastern Orthodox, sinner's prayer, the Jesus prayer. But whatever it is, I encourage you, whatever you're going through, to pray. It doesn't have to be any particular words. It could be whatever. I even bought a few people all the prayers of the Puritans. So some of my friends have been like, I don't even know what to pray anymore. I read the prayers of the Puritans. At the book fair, I bought a Baptist hymn book. I've just been reading the Baptist hymns. And they're beautiful, ancient. They're hundreds of years old, but they just have this richness that I can't. Like I told you, I'm not poetic. I'm just like, God help me. But other people are like, they have all these long words. But it doesn't matter about the words. What I'm getting at is when you read these beautiful prayers, you can just catch the heart of what you want to say. Verses 3. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. This is verse 3 and 4. And we see the focus shift to a place where God is hearing our prayers, to a place of humility. He says, Lord, Lord, if you kept a record of sin, who could stand in your presence? The psalmist knows his place in the world, which is down here. And he recognizes that God's place in the world is up here. He recognizes his own sinfulness and shortcomings in contrast to a magnificent God. We see God's goodness and character spoken of, and it's written all through the first 5 book of Moses and all through the Psalms, that the Lord, Lord, this is in Exodus 34, when Moses says, God, I want to see you. And he says, turn around, go on the crack, and you can see my back. And he says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. In Numbers 14, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. And so this is sort of the heart and the character that David is putting on God. He's saying, you are slow to anger. You are abounding in love. You forgive sin and iniquities. You're abounding in love and faithfulness. For me, in my early work with God, when stuff happened, I didn't come to God with that separation of like, I am a sinful person and you are magnificently and amazing. I came the other way around. I'm like, who do you think you are to let that happen to me? Who's been there? Yeah? How can you let that happen to me? Like, I'm such a nice person and you let that happen to me. I came to God with a sense of arrogance and pride of who I am and didn't really understand who he was. And this caused major problems with me in my prayer life because I didn't understand how sinful and prideful I was. Who am I to tell God or declare to God or to say to God to do this and do that when he says, no, I'm God. My ways are higher than your ways. And over the years, through careful prayer and self-reflection, did I realize, like this psalmist does, how sinful I really am and how majestic and pure and holy God is. And so with repentance, when I realized, man, I can't even stand in your presence. You are so good. You are so holy. Lord, I'm sorry, and I want to serve you all the days of my life. It's out of his goodness that leads us to repentance. And so now I come to God with a different posture to him. I don't come saying, I want to declare this. I just go, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I want this to happen, but your will, your will, your will. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Verse 4 says, but with you there is forgiveness, and so that we can with reverence serve you. It's through his forgiveness that we can then serve God. And I will serve him all the days of my life because of his forgiveness and love towards me and what he's done for me. Verses 5 and 6, the psalmist says this, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than the watchman, wait for the morning. More than the watchman, wait for the morning. I wait for my whole being. It's really cool. When you read the Bible, if you can get two translations, you get an NIV and an ESV. I'm an ESV person, but it's really cool to put them together and you can see the different words. So I think Christy preached out of the ESV 2 weeks ago. There was a lot of iniquities and transgressions, and the NIV will just have sin, sin. So it's really cool when you get two translations, you can kind of get a bit more. So for this one, my whole being waits. The ESV says, my whole soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My whole soul waits. And I put my hope in his word and his character. And what's his character? That the Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. As we serve God, life happens. Stuff happens. We live in a fallen world. It's like James said, Jesus has come back. His kingdom of God is here. It's the now, but not yet. It's not at the end just yet. Jesus hasn't come back to make it all new. But as we serve God, stuff happens. We live in a fallen world. And that it's on its way to redemption. It's the now, but not yet. But disaster can strike at any time. And even in pain and the unknown, we put our hope in him and his goodness. I've been in hospital with sick kids saying, God, how? Why? When? I've been teaching at school where a child's mum had cancer and then she went through a year of therapy and got healed. And literally a month later, the dad got cancer. And you're like, how? Why? Who's been there? Yeah, just going, where? God, where are you in this? The human heart is filled with questions for God. Why? When? How? We often wrestle with faith because of these questions. How can we fully trust God we don't understand? How can we have faith when God's ways seem cruel at times? When we try to comprehend God's ways, we can become frustrated. His ways are higher than our ways, says Isaiah 55. And his actions often do not make sense to our earthbound minds. We question God's ways when young people die, when tragedy strike righteous people, when the wicked prosper. So we beat on heaven's door with our demand for answers, and no answer comes but this one, my ways are higher than your ways. When my life was filled with the why, when, how questions, it was an absolute mess, and I doubted God's goodness. When I was angry at him, when I wanted things to go my way and they didn't go my way, I was angry. Maybe the psalmist here is angry because he made a major stuff up and now he's got to pay the consequences. I've been there too. Or maybe the psalmist, where Saul is persecuting him, he's like, I'm just doing my job and Saul hates me. It's stuff's happening. And so with me, what did I do? Well, we looked at the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That while we're still in our sinners, Christ died for us. That while we're sinners, he sent Jesus on the cross. So it doesn't matter what happens in our life. When you look at the cross and the empty cross, you can't doubt God's goodness. You can say, I don't know what's going on. His ways are higher than our ways. But when you look at the cross, the core central thing of Christianity, he's a good God. Regardless of what happens in our life, he is a good God. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept. He wept for the pain that his family and his friends were undergoing. God will never leave us nor forsake us, but instead he weeps with us as our great shepherd. Even though we go through so much pain and suffering, he still loves us and he will never leave us. He's given us his help of the Holy Spirit to help us and give us strength in this life to get through stuff with him. Verse 6, it says, I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Now, I've never been in the military, but standing picket in Pakapanyal, which is where they go to do training, is that right? I don't know. Anyway, they stand there for hours overnight, just looking at the hills, waiting for the sun to rise. Yeah? We watch the TV show Survivor, where they're shivering, freezing cold on the tropical island, and it's freezing cold. And they must sit there in the sand, cuddling up to randoms they don't even know, just waiting for the sun to come. Yeah, you think back then, they got some outpost somewhere in the hills of Judea, Galilee, Samaria, wherever. And there's this little outpost and there's an army person standing there waiting for the morning to come. And the psalmist here is saying, I'm waiting more than that. I'm waiting. He's a David, if he wrote it, he's a military commander. He knows all about it. He's saying, I wait more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than that, I'm yearning for this thing of being delivered from what is happening to me right now. Oh, yeah, I turn the TV on off and I'm like, oh, man, Jesus, come back. This place is a mess, yeah? You just go, oh, you know, Romans 8, where my soul groans, the world groans for Jesus to redeem us and, like make this world new again. But he waits. We're in this waiting time of when that's going to happen. So it's our job then. It's the now but not yet. His kingdom has come and will come again. But it's our job now, you and I's job, to bring God's love, God's light, we're image bearers of Christ into this world, and then over time he'll come back for his bride once more. The Israel, verse 7, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, and for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. So it switches from, I will put my hope in the Lord, I will put my hope in the Lord. And then in verse 7, the psalmist switches to Israel. It's a call to action. His son is saying, I'm putting my hope in the Lord. Now you Israel, as a nation, you put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. He switches from the I to you. He's calling people to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we do every Sunday morning. We put a gospel call out to put your faith in Jesus Christ, the King of this world. He came once and he's going to come again to make all things new here on earth. You read that in Revelation 21. Put your faith in Jesus. For both my wife and I, we've been in the pit of despair. We've been hope-filled. When we look at the cross, you can't doubt God's goodness. You can go, what is happening? I don't know, but what I do know is God is a good God. And we also love John 16, 33. And the context is he's talking to the disciples about a present suffering for a future glory. That's what he's talking about. And he says this, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You know, in Christ we have peace. Not in our circumstances do we have peace. It's actually in me you have peace. He's our rock. He's our salvation. In Jesus we have peace. Peace, not when life's going good, we have peace. It's actually in him we have peace. We have peace not in him when prayers are answered or that when we're delivered, but in him, in a person. In verses 5, 6, and 7, he talked about put your hope in his character, put your hope in his forgiveness, put your hope in his love. And now he's saying put your hope in him, not his attributes, but who he is, not what he's done for you, but who he is, so that you may have peace. And then this one, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus warns us that you'll have trouble. And I encourage you that when you go through life, because life happens to people, Some people life happens at 15 when friends suicide. Maybe it happens when you're older and a family member passes away, or maybe something happens where a friend of yours gets cancer and they are really sick. Life happens for people all different ages, but I encourage you to call on the name of the Lord. When you look at the cross, you can't doubt his goodness. He's a good God despite what happens in our fallen world. So as I draw to a close, after my message, if you want to have a chat, if you want to pray, if you want me to clarify anything or talk about anything, I'm more than happy to talk to you about anything. But my key takeaways from this psalm is, in your depths, cry out to God with your prayers. Might take straight away. Might be 3 weeks. It might be 10 years. It might be whenever, but I encourage you, call on the name of the Lord because he hears. That prayer is a gift. It's not about what you say. It's the connection that you have. That the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And we live in a now and not yet world. And although his ways are higher than our ways, he will give you the strength to get through anything here in this world. And last, put your hope in him to redeem this world, both now and in the future. Sound good? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these ancient psalms where we can read and learn more about your character and who you are. And Lord, I thank you that you're always with us, that you've given your Holy Spirit for those who believe, and that your Holy Spirit is our advocate, our helper, that you'll help us in this world, Lord God, and that you journey through the valleys with us, that you journey through life with us, the goods, the bads, the uglies. And Lord, I pray you help us to always call on your name, to rely on your goodness, to rely on your word. And Lord, I pray that you help us always stay connected to your peace and to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for every single person here that if they're going through stuff now, or maybe they're going to go through stuff in the future, or they've been through stuff in the past, Lord, I thank you that you've been with them all that time. And Lord, I pray that you sustain them, that you give them peace, that you give them strength, and you give them faith to just to keep going in this life. And Lord, we yearn for you to come back. Lord, we yearn for the new heaven and the new earth to come back, where every tear will be gone, every death, every sickness will be gone. But Lord, before that happens, Lord, I pray you help us to bring your kingdom come and your will be done. Help empower us to bring your love. Help us to be your image bearers to this world, to help redeem people back to you, Lord God. Help us to share our faith. Help us to share the gospel. And help us to share your goodness in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you have any prayer needs, email prayer@c3monash.org.au or connect with us online.